Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dale, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sanitarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is April 5, 2017, or it's 8/9/2021. We restored our first service today with a song entitled Beautiful Valley of Eden. Beautiful valley of Eden, sweetest at noontide calm. Oh, the hearts of the weary, breathing the waves of balm. Beautiful valley of Eden, home of the pure and blessed, the fountain of miserable flow, I dream of thy rest, sweet love. Over the heart of the mourner, shineth the golden day. Oft in the songs of the angels, now from the far away. Beautiful valley of Eden, home of the pure and blessed, the heart in the middle of their flood, I dream of thy rest, sweet rest. There is the home of my Savior, there with the blood more strong. Over the highlands of glory, rolleth the great new song. The valley of Eden, home of the pure and blessed, the heart in the middle of their flow, I dream of thy rest, sweet rest. Part 19, Righteousness by Faith. We're going to go into the book of James now, chapter 1. James, a servant of Yahweh and of the Yahshua Messiah, unto the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yahweh. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the fallen flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Yahweh hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh, for Elohim cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which is no, with whom is no variableness, and neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of the Yahweh. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before Yahweh and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This brings us to the end of James chapter 1. Now we'll go to James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Savior Yeshua Messiah, the Yeshua of the glory, with respect to persons. For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not Elohim chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised unto them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by in which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according unto the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect unto persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Now we're going to go into the topic of faith and works. Verse 14, James chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? The thing is, faith in what? If he has faith just in his works to save him, he can't be saved. But if he has faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, and perform his vows according to Nahum 1:15, over here when it tells us, go Jew, to keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, so the wicked shall no longer pass through thee. Now if he does all that, what is that telling you? Let's read it. Nahum 1:15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. So, we used to have the wicked pass through our camp here. But when we came up and upon the standard and raised up the standard higher, we put the wicked from among us, and by keeping as the ordained system of true worship as close as we can, then Yahweh says that he purged out the wicked from us. They passed out of our ranks, and we don't ever hear from them again. They don't ever call us, and they don't seek after us for anything. Well, that's a sign right there that when you're doing what he tells you in Nahum 1:15, behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feet. Who is the feet of him? Well, they're his preachers. And it tells us over there, I believe in Romans somewhere. Let's see. Romans 10:15. Let's go read it. Let's see. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Yahweh, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you unto jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and said, I have found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And unto Isaiah he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's in Romans 10:15-21. All right, let's go back now to our reading in James 2. So let's start with verse 14 again. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, for a man say he hath faith and have not works? Well, in other words, if a man say, I have faith in the truth of the sanctuary, of the new and living way, well, then he would have proper works automatically. If he understood the truth aright, he would have proper works. But if he's just going to the cold, dead formalism, or just going through the motions, keeping the Sabbath and the normal routine of the way Sabbath keepers do today, well, then his faith is dead. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful unto the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that the faith without works is dead? I mean, you just don't just believe in something like the Gentiles do. I have this man over here that I know, and I went to see him yesterday. And I hadn't seen him in 6 months. And he said, well, the latest thing that's happened is my wife left me and divorced me last December. I'm all alone. He said, well, he said, I pray for her every day because I asked her when we got married, before we got married, I said, are you saved? And she said, yeah, I'm saved. So I married her on her word that she was saved because I'm saved. I've been saved a long time. And I was saved, so I want to make sure that she knew that she was saved, and if she was saved, then we could get married and be in unity. But then I asked her the other day when she asked me for a divorce, last December, she said, she asked me for a divorce. I said, well, do you feel like you're saved? And she wouldn't answer him. She wouldn't answer him a word. Well, the thing is, neither one of them are saved. But they're greatly deceived. So they have faith in what? Faith in a myth. Faith in a lie. Because they never knew the truth. They don't know how to approach under the truth. I have represented the truth to this man for at least 2 years. And he sits and listens to me. But it's just like water off a duck's back. He just sheds it off and goes on saying, well, I'm the one that's deceived. I'm the one that's wrong. And so there you have it. He will never, never, ever come to a knowledge of the truth unless something happens in the form of a miracle. Let us go ahead. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by the works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see then how that by works of man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received a messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's a very good scripture, verse 26 there. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the our works is dead also. So, you have a dead faith, you have dead works. Because you never, never allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to enter into your life and take possession of your soul. I said one time when I first was introduced to this truth, within 15 minutes I gave testimony after I started hearing this truth. This is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me. 15 minutes before, I was contesting with this preacher, Brother Study Johnson, and telling him how I hated the rod, and how I hated all what they represented, yet I didn't know what they taught. I didn't have a clue what they taught, and didn't want to know because the Adventists told me that they were false, so that's all I need to know. I didn't have to investigate their doctrine. But lo and behold, when I allowed it to happen, and I opened my mind up and said, yeah, I'm open-minded. And boy, when he showed me the truth in 15 minutes, I said, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I will never, ever deny it. I will never let this go. I said that all in one breath. This is forever. And you know, I've had many tests and trials over holding on to this truth. I lost my family over it. They contested me. And I'll tell you what, and my biggest test came from Brother W. Johnson. he's the one that lost the truth, and I tried to refresh him with the truth. He rejected me, and then he wrote a letter dismissing me and excommunicating me from the congregation, telling me that I was of the devil and that I was going off on false doctrine and everything. You're talking about tested and tried. First, I lost my family, whole family, wife and children. And then I lost my adopted church, my second church that I had joined, a congregation. First, the Adventists kicked me out because I accepted Verlis Johnson. And then my wife and children left me because I wouldn't reject Verlis Johnson and the truth. And then Verlis Johnson kicked me out because he said I had apostatized and gone off on false doctrine. And I looked up toward the heavens and I said, well, Heavenly Father, I don't know where I'll go from here. All I know is I feel like I'm set free like a bird out of a cage. I said, a 1,000 pounds have rolled off of my shoulders. I said, that's all I know, is I feel like I have been set free. And that was after 33 years with Gilead Center. I finally felt like I had been set free. And then we had this tag along, Alan DeLong came along and tagged along with us for another 14 years. With us, unborn, he wasn't born again. And he never understood the truth, never did understand the truth. He had it, but he never understood it, never cared to understand it. And he tried to condemn me. That was my last condemnation from somebody. It was from Alan DeLong. He says, you're false. Your message is false. Everything's wrong. He said, I've got the truth now. You now reject everything that you believed and taught and said, now you come and follow me and you'll have salvation, what he told me. He said, you'll have eternal life. If you'll come and follow me now with my newfound woman that I've got, he was living in adultery with. He was very deceived, but yet, this is what it takes. You got to hold on to truth no matter what. If you ever know what truth is, because truth is a very fine item. I mean, it is, once you have the discerning to understand truth or right, then you're going to be attacked by Satan from all directions until you finally get separated from all of those evil people that you've been associated with. Once you get completely separated from, then Yahweh will show you clear the future from then on, and you will go unhindered from then on. Ever since we got rid of Alan DeLong, and I got rid of these other people off our property, Yahweh has opened up the windows of heaven as far as the clear vision of truth. If we have any confusion on any kind of doctrine at all, we just pray about it. We go to, my wife should go and do research on key things that we are having controversy with, and she comes up with the answer. And so, and it's all backed up by the scriptures. Our latest one was on this here doctrine of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? We thought maybe he might have been the father himself, because he was without father and mother, without beginning, without any. We thought he was, Ellen G. White said he's Yahshua. So Ellen G. White said in Desire of Ages that Melchizedek is Yahshua. But Sister White said one thing a long time ago. She said, even though my writings have been accepted as the truth, they must be brought to the law and to the testimony. If they cannot stand up to that, there is no truth in my writing. So she admonished everybody, don't you take my writings as the straight truth until you go and check it to the law and the testimony. And that's what we did with this Melchizedek, because we was troubled by Ellen G. White saying that he was Yahshua Messiah, and I taught that for quite a while. Until we did a deeper research on it, we found out that he is like unto the Son of Man. That he is not the Son of Man. He is like unto Yahshua, that he is not Yahshua, and said, he is not the Father. He said he is a priest that Yahweh created. Yahweh created Melchizedek. So if Yahweh created him, how can he be Yahweh? So that settled that. All right, let's go ahead. James chapter 3. Now, brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And a man offend not in word, the same as the perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in our horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of the fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of the mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of a deadly poison. Therewith bless we Yahweh, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of Yahweh. Now the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now I'm going to read that verse 14 and 15 again. I just got through talking about this truth. Once you find the truth, you hold on to it, because the old devil is going to use every means in the world to shake you from it. And he used my family first. Then he used the prophet and his family and the leader of the house of Yahweh at Gilead Center. He used him to try to shake me from it. Then this tag along the only loan that came with us out when we came through the first judgment, and he made it with us, and he stayed with us another 14 years, and he tried to pull me from it, try to shake me loose from it. So I'm going to tell you what, deceitfulness and evilness has no bounds. There's no depth to it. It's just there, and the only thing is, if you know the truth, then you look them in the teeth, and you hold on to it, and you say, there's the door. James 3:15. This wisdom descendeth not from above. Let's read that verse 14. Let's read verse 13 again. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. All right, it says, who is a wise man? But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't lie against the truth. This risen descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay, that's the end of chapter 3 of James. James chapter 4, let's continue. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of Yahweh. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, Yahweh resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto Yahweh, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore, if one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Yahweh will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unto him it is sin. End of chapter 4. We're going into James chapter 5. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last day. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your field, which is of you kept back by fraud, cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Yeshua of the Sabbath, or the Yahweh of the Sabbath as well, the Father. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Yahshua. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Okay, and that early and latter rain falls in the 12th hour, the 12th parabolic hour, that hour we've been in since 2002. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Yahshua draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of Yahshua, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Yahshua, that the Yahshua is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by the heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing song. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of Yahshua. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Yahshua shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that it rain not. That's Elijah. Elijah was a man subject unto like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. That ends out of James chapter 5. Second Peter chapter 2. We're going to continue our study here. No, it's First Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Yahweh is gracious, unto whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Yahweh and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto Yahweh by Yahshua Messiah. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be less obedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of the stumbling, and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of the visitation. Submit unto others, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Yahweh's sake, whether it be unto the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of Yahweh. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king. Servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only unto the good and gentle, but also unto the forward. For this is sanctuary. If a man for conscience toward Yahweh endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with Yahweh. For even hereunto were ye called, because Yahshua also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Likewise, ye wives, being subjected unto your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and of the wearing of the gold, or of the putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that of which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh of great price. For up this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in Yahweh adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Yahweh,
Master.
Whose daughters you are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according unto the knowledge, giving honor unto his wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of the life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be patient, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Okay, that's very good there. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahweh is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Yahweh Elohim in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer unto every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Yahshua. I have a correction to make there on verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him, I said, Yahweh. He only called the father Yahweh. Abraham, she called him master. Okay. Question made. Alright, let's continue on now in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read verse 15 again. But sanctify the Yahweh Elohim in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer unto every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in the Yahshua. For it is better if the will of the Yahweh be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Yahshua also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto the Father, Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by the water. So now who were those that was in prison? It was those in Noah's day. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh by the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah, who is gone into the heaven and is on the right hand of Yahweh, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Okay, that ends 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go on to 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Yahshua Messiah, unto them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of the Yahweh and our Savior Yahshua the Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the Yahweh and of the Yahshua our Savior, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and righteousness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and unto virtue knowledge, and unto knowledge temperance, and unto temperance patience, and to patience righteousness, and unto righteousness brotherly kindness, and unto brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Savior Yahshua the Messiah. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence unto to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior, of our Yahweh and Savior, Yahshua, Messiah. Let's read that again, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Yahweh, the Father, and His Son, Yeshua, our Savior, the Messiah. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. See, be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that surely I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Savior Yeshua the Messiah has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Savior Yeshua the Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For He received from Yahweh the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice unto Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. False teachers and false doctrines. That goes into chapter 2. So it says, so we'll go right on into chapter 2 of 2 Peter. For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Yeshua that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, these are people that are genealogically connected to the bloodline of the house of David and of the 10 tribes of Israel. These are what Peter's talking about here. Let's read that verse 1 again. But there were false prophets also among the people. Now, these false prophets are of the house of Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. They privately bring them in, even denying the Yeshua. So they are descendants of Israel. That turns out to be false prophets. And they they deny the Savior in which they had been endorsed by, that brought them and bring them upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, this is bad, that the way of the truth be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if Yahweh spared not the angels that sin, this is talking about those that followed Lucifer from heaven, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of the righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the unrighteous. So you see what happens when you turn unto righteousness, then you're put into the charge of judgment, and you, through your righteous judgment, can pronounce like Elijah did upon Mount Carmel that day against Ahab and those 850 false prophets that were there. You can do the same thing. Says so in Revelation chapter 11. Says so. And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, and making them an example unto those that after should live unrighteously. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. For the Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Yahweh. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to rot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, begotten unstable souls, and heart they have exercised, with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, and to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of the corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Yahshua and Savior Yahshua Messiah, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according unto the true proverb, that the dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Okay, that ends chapter 2. And this brings us to the close of our study. This hour, you can contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Let the lower lights be burning. Brightly beams the Father's mercy, from his line has it more. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the low lights be burning, send the gleam across the waves. Some poor faint, his struggling seaman, he may rescue, you may say. Dark the night of sin has settled, now the angry billows roll. Eager eyes are watching, longing, for the lights of long the shore. Let the floodlights be burning, send a gleam across the flame, and for fame, the struggling seaman, he may rescue you, they say. Mend your feet, oh lamp, my brother, and for sailor tempest tall, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be long. Let the floodlights be burning, send a gleam